Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comfort, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you. I will pray to you in my secret place. For you are my everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to get to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer for worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you. For you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. Surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to, Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Even when I don't know where my next meal is coming from, somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life. You're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me. And I gotta testify that you are. Pride of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. You calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. You
Yes, yes, you are our everything, our joy and our peace. Oh, so I'd like to first acknowledge our awesome pastor overall, Pastor O, our assistant pastors, Dennis Tate and Jonathan Tate, and all our associate pastors, ministers, presiders, officers, members, and friends all over this beautiful world. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome to Run of Christ Ministries Sunday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Run of Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us in reading our proclamation and giving us a beautiful prayer is our very own sister, Deaconess Lisa Thornton. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Run for Christ. Good morning to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners listening in. You are our family. We love you. I am here to read to you the proclamation. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lifts up Jesus so that all those who are lost today will be found today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. Father, we ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Lisa Thornton, for being with us, and we just have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you,
we appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
That whatsoever is in his name is in his word. So when you pray the word of God back to God, guess what? Whatsoever I need is in your name. So pray in the name of Jesus, but pray in the mind of Jesus. Pray the word of Jesus back to God the Father. Like Jesus said, when you pray, say our Father. You know, we can trust Jesus. In Philippians 4, it says, from the New Living Translation, it says, Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Listen to this. Tell God what you need and remember what God has done. And you know what you're going to see when you start remembering what God has done? You're going to see a whole bunch of battles, a whole bunch of battles. And you're going to say to yourself, you know what? Jesus never lost a battle.
Is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me out. And right now, I know you're able. And my
take a look at some battles real quick. Okay, Egypt was stuck. Israel was stuck down there in Egypt and couldn't get out. Ain't even had nothing to fight with, right? And everybody had their weapons. Egypt was full of weapons. Jesus fought the battle for them, and he won. Then they came to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea, you won't get past me. Jesus fought the battle for them, and they won. Then they went to the wilderness where there ain't no food or water. and no new clothes to eat. But Jesus, he won the battle. Then they had to fight Sihon and Og, and they didn't even know how to fight real good. But Jesus won the battle. Then they had to get across the Jordan River, but Jesus won the battle. Then they had to get past the walls. I think you done got it now. Jericho, Jesus won the battle. You know what I'm trying to tell you? His name is Jireh. And say this with me right now. Say, Jireh, you are enough.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud.
Sing it loud.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Sing it, Naomi.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean, so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now.
Hands raised, we call him Jack.
Amen. I want you to imagine that you have a need. You say to yourself, Jireh, every need you supply before you start praying. That's going to be a short prayer because you already got what you need, and that is to know that he is Jireh. He is definitely our provider. It is the Lord who cares for us. Amen. That's why we cast our cares on him and not them. They don't care for you. Stop being mad at people who won't do what you ask them to do. Get glad. Get happy. And call on Jireh because he is your provider. You know, you can go to this one or you can go to that one. You can go to those people. You can go to them people. You can even talk to the president. Talk to the most powerful, richest people in the world. But I want to tell you something. There's nobody greater than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nobody greater than our God and Father. Nobody greater than his Holy Spirit.
Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley. Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, no. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Search all over.
Search all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you, Lord. That's Mother Shirl Hamilton's song. As we keep her lifted up in prayer and the loss of her husband, Father Hamilton, Pastor O, you took us there. As always, you took us there. And we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. We thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks. Pray to the Lord. Amen. Amen.
I need you. To worship with God's people and to come before our Father, the King's throne, in prayer. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to freely come before your throne. We acknowledge with every opportunity that we could not have been here, for if it had not been for Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection made it possible. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you that we have been redeemed. Holy Spirit, we pray for your people who have not come to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that you will open the eyes of their hearts that they might see and receive the salvation of the Lord. Right now, we pray for the church. We pray that your will be revealed to us. And that we can see the miraculous work that you're doing in the earth. I pray that the church be aligned with the cornerstone so that we can carry out your will in the earth. Your word says that in the end there will be many false teachers. I pray that you give us wisdom so that we can discern any tricks of the enemy. Lord, we thank you for your word. Jesus, you are the word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We surrender our will and we ask you for forgiveness of our sin where we've strayed away and been involved with darkness. Jesus, we acknowledge that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your ways are righteous and they lead to life. Pray for those who have experienced recent loss of a loved one. Jesus, you are the God of comfort. We pray that you comfort those who are grieving. Although we know to be absent from the body is to be present with you, we can't ignore the pain that loss brings. We can find comfort in the hope that you've given us. Holy Spirit, remind us in our grief that our loved ones are alive in you and that we will see them again in all of your glory. We pray for our nation. Lord, the poor have cried out to you about unjust practices of our government, the oppression of people, and the abuse of authority. It's been on display for so long, and so many people have suffered while the rich only get richer. Lord, you said that we should not worry about our life, what to wear, or what we will eat. Father, many people cannot afford housing because of greed right now. But Father, you promised that you know what we have need of. And we are reminded that if we seek your kingdom and your righteousness, that all these things will be given to us. We will continue to give thanks to you, even in times of trouble. We pray that your kingdom come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For it is in Jesus' name that we ask all these things. We trust that our prayers have reached heaven and that you have heard us. And like a good Father, you are concerned and you're already working things out for our good. We trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's all
Thank you. Deaconess Nicole, thank you. Thank you for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. And have a beautiful day. Amen. All right. So far this morning, we are having a great time. With more to come, I want to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday morning worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday morning worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. And be the reason someone smiled today. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. Following the selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own brother, man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Let us prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
The outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more, I need you, Lord, right now, fill me up again. You did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. Fill me up again. Lately I've been too busy, but I really miss you. I need you, Lord, right now. take thee to be everything that you want me to be. I'm here, pour out your love.
Lord, we thank you for a brand new day. We thank you for brand new opportunities to live for you and with you and to tell someone about you and the goodness and everything that you've accomplished in us. And then the rest of the world, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we confess that we haven't been all that we're designed to be. And we confess every sin before you right now, Lord. We ask for forgiveness of those sins, Lord, that you would continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you for the restoration and doing so. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's a part of this broadcast. And for those who are listening around the world, we say thank you, Lord, that you continue to cover them, keep them, and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters around the world, and our Blog Talk listeners. We are going to explore John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. I went back and forth with the Lord because, you know, I've said it time and time again. Seems like sometimes the Lord waits until the very last minute to give me a passage of scripture to present. And I said, well, Lord, that's only a few verses. And he reminded me that he runs the show and that the audience that he's orchestrated and put together will receive the word that he orchestrated and put together. So I'm just being obedient and following the Lord's lead as we go through John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And it says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Where it says, on the last day, last and greatest day of the feast, it's the Jewish holiday of Sukkot. It's S-U-K-K-O-T-H. And, or the Feast of the Tabernacles, as referred to in verse 2 of John chapter 7. The Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, is a Jewish holiday that's usually celebrated between October 9th and October 16th on our calendar, whereby they celebrated the gathering of the harvest as well as their exodus from Egypt. So as a reminder, you know, as something to celebrate, you know, the gathering of the harvest, you know, they had a agricultural, you know, situation as far as their culture, you know, like farming and planting crops and harvesting crops back in those days. So they would celebrate because farmers typically gather the harvest. They harvest their crops during fall. And they were also celebrating their exodus from captivity in Egypt. You know, the exodus movement of the people out of Egypt going into the promised land that the Lord had provided for them. So they were celebrating. It was customary in Jewish culture to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles or Sukkot. And it says, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So typically at the end of the week, water was drawn in a golden pitcher from the pool of Siloam, carried in procession to the temple and offered by the priests as the singers chanted with joy, which is Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. It is uncertain whether the libations were made upon the eighth day or the end of the week. If they were not made, the significant cessation of the striking rite on this day of the feast would give a still more fitting occasion for those words. So customarily, that's what they would do. They would draw water with a golden pitcher, and it was a ceremony. But remember, Jesus was coming to simplify and to cut straight through all those traditions and everything and say, hey, simply, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. One thing I've always enjoyed as I read the word and learn more and more about Jesus, we're all students. We don't have it all figured out. And I know that sometimes people think that preachers or pastors or teachers have it all figured out. No, we don't. We're constantly learning and constantly discovering new things about the Bible and God's word and Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But Jesus came to really, first and foremost, relate to us as a human. Because remember, Jesus has always existed as God the Son in glory. He made a decision. They all got together, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I'll go. And he came in human form because he knew that we needed a Savior. And remember, this was all decided way before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. So by Jesus coming, he could relate to us. Jesus has felt stress. Jesus has felt pain. Jesus has felt people backbiting and, you know, being disrespectful to him. So he's standing here as they're celebrating the Feast of the Tabernacle saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And if we can go back to John chapter 4, verse 10, where Jesus met the woman in Samaria at the well. John chapter 4, verse 10 says, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And as I was digging and studying, living water always better than stagnant water. So if you look at like the animals that live near streams or rivers or creeks, that water is living. It's moving. It has life. When you turn on your tap and that water is moving, it has life. Now, I have water that I keep in my refrigerator in the pitcher. Is stagnant because literally water is not moving. It's just sitting in a container. And not that water doesn't have life-giving, you know, qualities and purposes, of course, because our bodies are made up of water. Most of the earth is made up of water, and we need water to survive. So that's just the reality of life. But right here, Jesus is offering her living water and water that has life. And it's a spiritual thing, as we will continue into the passage, where that living water that constantly gives life is the Holy Spirit or God's very presence inside of us. Because when you look at verse 38, it says, whoever believes in me, Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. That living water that only Jesus could offer at that time, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you consider, if God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, Jesus is the only one on earth at that time who could offer that, because he's offering of himself. Because if they're all one, the Spirit, the Father, the Son, Jesus has the authority to say, hey, come to me, you thirsty. Because one thing I do know is as long as you're in a physical body, you're going to thirst. You're going to hunger. You're going to feel the things that are associated with being in this body. So Jesus, I love how he relates things, because he knew that whole piece about the golden pitcher in the pool of Siloam. He knew that they were going to celebrate that out of tradition and customs, because they did so every year in that culture. Said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. That's one thing, if you think about it, because I know that people think there's certain things, some things that you have to do to be saved. And I tell people all the time, and I say it over and over again, it starts with your belief. Jesus said it. Believe in me. Scripture has said, which is God's word, his love letter to us, streams of living water will flow from within him. You get eternal life through Jesus. You have to go through Jesus to get eternal life. The thief on the cross understood that. Did the thief on the cross live a perfect life? No. Did the thief on the cross violate the law? Obviously, yes, because he was in a position of crucifixion. They were sentencing him to death. The thing that he recognized is that I believe that this guy was sent. This is the Messiah. Jesus was sent to save the world. I recognize that. Hey, I want some of that water, the living water. And for us, that's the form of the Holy Spirit. Because we need living water. We need the Spirit to instruct us and to counsel us on day-to-day matters of our lives. It's not just about, hey, I'm thirsty, let me get something to drink. No, spiritually, we need our thirst quenched by the Holy Spirit. And if you have springs of living water, just if you look at like a bear that lives near a stream, they have a fresh supply of living water. They know where to go to get something to drink. But just consider how your thirst is quenched spiritually if living water is inside of you, constantly flowing in the form of the Holy Spirit. See, John doesn't have to have it all figured out. But I can go to who already has it all figured out. My Creator, the Word of God, my living water, my counselor, my inspiration, my friend. When we sing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, that's a deep thing to me. Because my friend laid down his life for me. And even before he went to the cross, he was trying to draw people to him so so that they can have living, flowing water in the form of the Spirit. But let's look at verse 39. It says, by this he meant the Spirit. And that's capital S in reference to the Holy Spirit, God's very presence inside of us once we get saved. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. So the Spirit came after Jesus rose from the grave. Now, we know that Jesus came here knowing what was going to take place and what was going to happen, how he was going to have to go to that cross, and that he was going to rise from the grave. Now, you don't have to believe me, but if you just study world history, there are references to Jesus walking this earth. There are references to that tomb being empty. And there were people that seen Jesus in his glorified body where he would just appear and it was supernatural because he was no longer confined by his physical body because he had died and rose and he was glorified. But Jesus was giving people the precursor saying, hey, believe in me first and foremost because I have a gift for you in the form of living water that will never leave you nor forsake you, because Jesus knew that he physically was going to leave this place, but he wanted to leave us a part of himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful inheritance we have when Jesus left and we received the Holy Spirit for those who believed in him, so that my spiritual thirst would constantly be quenched. See, there are a lot of things I don't have to worry about or concern myself about because of who lives inside of me. And God's very presence in the form of the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. See, I know that people celebrate Halloween and they get costumes and all this candy. But as I look at the calendar, I think about my spiritual birthday. See, October 31st of 1987, I gave my life to Christ as a 10-year-old who was afraid to go to hell. Time, Dr. Pelham Love spoke so passionately about the realities of Satan, demons, and hell. And it scared me. And after that, let me back up. I have to get a backstory because I've shared this before, but the Lord is telling me I have to share this story. At the time, I was going to be, my mom took me and my brother and my sister to JCPenney at Southland Mall the night before Halloween, so October 30th, to get costumes. And the costume that I picked up, I was going to be the devil. And she was going to make my face up. My mom was good with makeup and everything. So back then, we could go home for lunch to put on our costumes and come back to school. So I got paged to the office, and my mom was there, and she said, come, I need you to take a ride with me. And I said, okay, you know, but she had my costume in the bag. And we were driving back to the mall, and she said, son, I can't let you be the devil for Halloween. It just doesn't sit well with me. So you got to get a different costume. So I found a costume. I was a ninja. And it was a nice costume, actually. Like, I was a ninja, and I thought it was sweet. So I went to church that night after school. You know, people complimented my costume. Went to church that night, and I won best costume for my age group. And my prize was my first Bible, King James Version, Black Bound Bible. And shortly after that, Dr. Pelham Love came up and he spoke to us. Church was full of kids. And he talked so passionately about the reality of Satan, demons, and hell, and how if you're not saved, that's where you will spend eternity. So I was afraid. You know, I walked home that night by myself, which was rare, and I sat on my great-grandmother's porch, like next to her porch, because she had an enclosed porch, invited Jesus to come into my heart and life and save me so that I wouldn't go to hell. So when I look at October 31st, that's what I think about. I think about upcoming 35 years of walking with the Lord and being saved and having that living water quench my spiritual thirst. So I'm not concerned about where I will spend eternity because 35 years ago, close to, I punched my ticket to heaven. But if you're not saved, your reality is hell. Is hell open right now? No. But the waiting place is, and it's called Hades. And it's a real place. And if you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of your sins, no matter what you do or what you say, that sin is paid for by his blood. And you believe that he rose from the dead, then you're saved. All you have to do, well, that's let me backtrack. That's one part of it. That's one part. The next part is to just invite him into your heart and life. Because truthfully, the thief on the cross, he believed. And he asked Jesus, hey, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus told that thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Did the thief on the cross always get it right? No. Thief on the cross was not perfect. I've been saved since October 31st of 1987. I still don't get it right. But I know that I can confess my sins, and he is able and faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness to restore me in his sight. So if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins, that's the first part. The second part is just to formally invite him into your home, your spiritual space. And if you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and he paid for them and that he rose from the grave, the second part, you just can repeat after me. And you just say, Lord Jesus, I am an admitted sinner. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for all of my sins, past, present, and future, and that you rose from the grave with all power and might. I formally invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you and walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you believe and you prayed that prayer, then you're saved. You have that eternal living water in the form of God, the Holy Spirit, quenching your thirst every single day inside of you. All you have to do now is just get into a good Bible-based church so that you can continue to grow and develop as a new man or woman of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you so much for bringing so much out in that short passage. I thank you for that living water, the Holy Spirit, that we can freely take hold of and dwell with God's very presence inside of us. We are your masterpiece, Lord, and we thank you for being fearfully and wonderfully made. But we thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross in our place. We deserve that, not you. But we thank you for being our scapegoat and for shedding your blood for us and for rising from the dead for us so that we can spend eternity with you. We thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness and forgiving us of our sins, Lord, because we fall daily throughout the day. But you're a wonderful, patient Father who stands up and stands us up and cleanses us, dusts us off so that we can continue to move and grow and develop in you. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
Lord, I'm nothing without you.
Nothing without you.
In him do I live, moving at my being.
nothing without you. Nothing without you. Nothing without you. I'm nothing but a ship without a sail on, moving aimlessly, tossed to and fro. I'm nothing without you. So breathe through me.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful song. Lord, we are absolutely nothing without you. Amen. You know, the best part of this life is Jesus. Amen. The fact that on our bucket list, we don't have to list perfection as one of the things that we have to attain before we leave this life. We don't have to be perfect. And Jesus knew, the Father knew, the Holy Spirit knew before we ever set foot on this earth that we were going to need a Savior. And Jesus said, I will do it. And so now because of him, if you believe in him and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he lives in us, living water through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're nothing without him. And we're so thankful for what he has done for us. So thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross on our behalf and leaving us your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us through this life. We're so very grateful. Pastor Jonathan, thank you so much for the word that you brought to us today about the living water. Thank you so much for always being transparent with us, always giving us personal experiences and personal stories and tying it to the word to make it relatable. You know, the Bible is not just a historical book full of antiquated stories about people who we've never met. We are those people in the Bible because they never quite got it right, and neither will we, but we don't have to, all because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. So thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for the word that you brought to us today. It was wonderful, excuse me, as always. Thank you for the time that you always take to bring us the word and deliver it so thoroughly. Amen. Amen. So good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. Amen. By way of a couple of announcements for you, our in-person Sunday school and Sunday worship services have been temporarily suspended. But no worries, amen, because we are still keeping the praise party going right here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. So just a few changes. Our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Church School will begin at 9 a.m. because if you all noticed today, this is our third Sunday here on Blog Talk Radio, but we did not have Sunday school this morning. Amen. Because our Sunday school is switching to Saturday Church School, and that's going to begin at 9 a.m. on Saturdays, so make sure to adjust your alarms for that. And then our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Worship Service will begin at 10 a.m. After our church school. And then on Sundays for our worship service, obviously we will be here on Blog Talk Radio beginning at 10 a.m. Amen. So Saturday church school begins at 9 a.m. Our Saturday worship service begins at 10 a.m. And then our Sunday worship service begins at 10 a.m. on Sundays. Amen. Amen. For Sundays for the foreseeable future, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is still going to be having her show entitled Bring Back the Family. But because we're here on Blog Talk on Sundays right now, her class and her show is going to be switching to Fridays. So Pastor has told me to make sure to have you all go to our church website, rfcm.org, click under Christian Resources, and then click on the Bring Back the Family tab, and you'll be able to get all the information that you need to still be able to hear Deaconess Clyburn's show, Bring Back the Family. Amen. So as long as we're here on Sundays, she's not going to have it on Sundays. It is switching to Friday, but again, please go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on Christian Resources, then click on Bring Back the Family, and you'll have the information that you need to make sure you're still able to listen to her show. And then make sure to, of course, tune in and to give her your support. Amen? Amen. Church history class is on Mondays at 6 p.m. The teacher is Pastor O. The textbook for the class is entitled The Church That Jesus Christ Built. It is written by Pastor O. It's never too late to get into the class. Amen. So if you still want to participate, you're definitely going to need the book. So please go to Pastor's website, www.pastorgmo.com, Pastor God's My Owner, gmo.com, and you'll still be able to get a book to participate in the church history class that, again, happens here on Block Talk Radio on Mondays at 6 p.m. If for whatever reason you cannot attend the live classes, all of the classes will be recorded and posted on our church website weekly at rfcm.org. Just go to the Bible classes link and then click on History of the Christian Church recorded at a time that's most convenient for you, and you can most definitely listen at that time. Also, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading classes here on Blog Talk Radio. Questions are available by email, if you are on Pastor's email list or online under the Bible classes tab on our church website, rfcm.org. Amen. Also, on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for that. Bondage Breaker Ministries is her ministry, and she is the president of that. So for more information to participate in her women's Bible class that happens on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., please reach out to Pastor Janice Tate, and she will be able to give you information on how to participate. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit our church website, again, rfcm.org, and click on tithes and offerings. Normally, when we're in church on Sunday, anyone who preaches that is not Pastor O, an offering is taken up for that preacher. So Pastor Jonathan Tate did preach to us and for us here today on Blog Talk Radio. So if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who brought the word to you today, please go to our church website, again, rfcm.org, and just click on tithes and offerings, and make sure you notate that it's for Pastor Jonathan Tate, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and everyone else that weren't able to help through your consistent and generous giving. Amen. Also, please don't forget to check out our church website. I've only been talking to you about it all morning long, rfcm.org. It's come a long way, and Pastor has put in a lot of work. There are jobs on there like crazy. I went on there the other day to just look at the jobs. I mean, you scroll forever looking at jobs. I mean, and it is such a blessing because you have so many people who say they can't find a job, they're looking for jobs, you know. So the information on our church website is not just for us. Please make sure you're sharing that information with other people. Even if you don't need something specifically, you can always share that information and allow others to view the website for themselves and to get them some Jesus and get them a job all at the same time. There's resources on there. Obviously, our Bible classes are on there. You can go all the way back to when it was just Pastor O on Blog Talk Radio doing what the Bible says every day for 2 hours for years. Amen. So there is a lot of information on our church website. So bless yourself on purpose and bless somebody else on purpose by sharing the website with them so they can get on there and get some information as well. Amen. Amen. We always want to shout out our mothers at Running for Christ Ministries. We call them the Mothers on the Move, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. You know, at the church building, we always had at least one mother holding it down for all of them every Sunday. We know that we've got at least one of them listening this morning, if not more. So we just always want to ask that you please keep them always in your prayers, as well as all of the Running for Christ Ministry members. Special prayers go out to Nico Gaston and also to Pastor John McFall. You know, we were saying before, pray for people who you don't see on Sundays. Well, right now we're not seeing each other, so we really, really, really need to make sure that we continue to pray for one another. Amen. We ask that you please continue to keep Mother Cheryl and the entire Hamilton and overall family, as well as friends, in your prayers on the passing of the father of our church, amen, Tyrone Hamilton, who was eulogized on yesterday. So please, please keep them lifted up in prayer. We know that the list of things to pray for is inexhaustible. We don't have Janice's list right now, but just imagine it. Imagine what you remember and then add people as you need to, because we know that the list of things to pray for, again, is inexhaustible. Amen? Amen. Birthdays. Amen. Happy birthday to Pastor Terrence Tate, who celebrated on the 9th, Pastor Janice, who celebrated on the 10th, both Quinaya and Zekeness Loretta celebrated on the 15th, and baby Jedediah, he celebrated on the 16th. He's one. Amen. So happy birthday to all of you guys. Hopefully we'll get the birthday song in. We're not really sure. We'll have to figure that out, but nevertheless, happy birthday to all of you. Amen. Amen. And so I have a devotional for you, and it's entitled No More Wasting Time. Amen. And I thought about Pastor Jonathan when I looked at this, because he always says to us, time ain't long. Time ain't long. I said I was going to get it on a t-shirt. Time ain't long. So the title for this one is entitled No More Wasting Time. It's by Victoria Riolano. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. An hour and a half. On a hot summer's day, I waited impatiently at a park for my play date to start. As 30 minutes turned to an hour, I could feel myself getting more and more aggravated as I awaited the other mother to show up. Yet every 20 minutes or so, she would send me a text message assuring me she was on her way. So I waited and waited. An hour and a half later, with no real explanation, she arrived with a big smile, ready for her children to play with my children. My kids, however, were hot, bothered, whiny, and simply ready to go home. Within 10 minutes of her arrival, we left to head home. All I could think of was, what a waste of time. Even to this day, I think of the things I could have done while waiting for her to arrive. If I'm honest, however, she wasn't the first person to waste my time. I was. Year after year, I allowed myself to stay in situations the Lord was removing. I wasted time in relationships that were doing me more harm than good. I wasted time on meaningless distractions that kept me from being focused on God's will. I am convinced that I am not the only one. So have you found yourself wasting your own time? In this verse, Psalm 90, chapter 12, which says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, we are reminded of the importance of each day. As we learn to number our days, we are reminded that tomorrow is not promised. Thus, we have to choose wisely how we will spend each day. When we do so, the Bible says we will gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, being aware of limited life will give us the desire to operate in discernment over each choice. We will recognize that there is no time for wasting time. Just like with rare jewels, the fact that time is limited makes it more valuable. Instead of throwing away our time aimlessly, we should hold it dearly, recognizing that it can never be gained back once lost. Thus, the key to numbering our days is seeking the Lord for his will daily. We have a responsibility to tap into his plan rather than our own. It is important to remember that before we were even born, the Lord ordained each of our days. He not only had a plan for our overall life, but took time to consider how we would spend our individual moments. His desire was never for us to walk haphazardly through life or be wrapped up in environments that caused us emotional damage. Instead, before our first day, he was intentional about us and his plan. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And that's Psalm 139, verse 14. Today, my prayer is that we will reclaim our time. We must make a choice to no longer allow unhealthy relationships and situations to overtake our time on earth. We must be okay with walking away from toxic environments, petty arguments, and everything else that will be a distraction. When we learn to do so, we will have more time to hear the Lord when he tells us to pray for someone or to step out in faith. We will live boldly and without regret, knowing we did all God has called us to do. Although one day I will forget that long, hot play date at the park, I will always remember the agony of waiting and knowing there was something more valuable that could have been done. Let us remember that as long as we have breath in our body, the Lord wants to move in our lives. If we are intentional about his will, we will save ourselves years of frustration and waiting on his promises. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Okay, that works better when you turn the mic on. It sure does. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal. We appreciate
you're
you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. And Philomere, we said, hey, 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 and one more hey.
One more hey.
Don't forget
hey,
the
hey,
last
hey.
Hey. And one more
don't
hey.
Don't forget the last hey. And one more hey.
All right, my sister. Be blessed.
Amen.
And like
all
Kathy
right,
say,
too.
like Deaconess Clyburn say, and have a wonderful day.
And have a wonderful day. Amen.
Amen. I'll see you, Crystal.
All right.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. Before I close out with the benediction, I want to thank Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate, and Deacon Eric Reed, amen, for being there on yesterday, and for all of you who came by. Deacon Tate and so many others who came by on Friday to wish my sister well and to just let her know that we are there, we are concerned, and we're praying for her. I also want to thank the president of our executive board, Sharon Abraham. She was there on Friday, and Carmen Abraham, vice chair of the deaconess board. She was there on Friday. And Sharon was also there on Saturday, and we thank God for her. Amen. Also want to thank God for Assistant Pastor Janice Tate and Alice Tate. My sister Cheryl wanted them to come and sing a song, but Alice was going to be out of town, so they couldn't do it. So you know what they did? They sang it to her over the phone, and my sister told me they made me cry. Amen. So apparently it meant a lot to her. And so we thank God for their contribution as well. I want to thank the very kind pastor. I really want to thank my, it's my niece, right? And I don't want to call her step niece because Tyrone didn't call me step nothing. So I ain't going to call her step nothing. So she was my niece, and she is the one who arranged or made provision for us to be able to be at Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Church. So I want to thank Michelle for, you know, setting that up. And I want to thank the very kind pastor, Duckett, for giving us his church to use, Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Church, and the family. The whole church family was involved, and we thank God for them being kind to us. Amen. Amen. So continue to keep my sister, Mother Hamilton, in prayer, amen, as these, as the darkness turns to light, as the night turns to morning. Pray for her, amen, so that morning comes and she can move forward in life. And we look forward to seeing her back in church at Runner for Christ Ministries when the Lord say so. Amen? Amen. And now for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And until we all meet again, let the whole church say, amen.
Have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's a moonlight every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud.
sing it all day. This song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. You gave me your love. You gave me your son.
Say